Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs, and this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on August 4th. It's a Tuesday, 2020. Thanks for joining us. And if you're listening on the archives, we archive every show over at education-talkradio.org. We put a new schedule up there every Saturday. And please check that out. All our old shows are archived over there under the icon Past Shows. There's an idea for you. Okay, as you know, we have our consortium, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. All educators are welcome to join at no charge. Thought leaders, etc., in the industry come together with those educators, hopefully just like you, literally you, okay, and talk about ways to get equity and access to education available to everybody. It's a great thing we are doing with the help of everybody in education. It's over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Your free membership includes a subscription to our online journal magazine, ACE, Equity and Access. So please check it all out at ace-ed.org. We're going to talk community colleges this morning. It's a long time since my friend, old friend Noah Brown has been here. Noah, are you there?
I'm here, Larry. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. How long's it been? A few years, man. I missed you, so I'm glad you guys got in touch with me. Thank you.
Well, our pleasure. It's always a delight to spend time with you, Larry.
Ah, thanks. Thanks. I've gotten old and grumpy in this couple of years. I hope it's a delight today. Think it will be? What do you think?
Well, I'm right with you, so we'll just muddle through.
Sounds good to me. Community colleges, COVID-19, pandemics. I'm going to give you the general question. How are community colleges doing right now? Just an overall picture. Then we'll get into the nitty-gritty. Noah Brown, everybody.
Yeah.
By the way, I forgot to mention, Noah, excuse me, is the president and CEO of the Association of Community College Trustees, the governance group of community colleges, okay, acct.org. I apologize for that. I know you so well, I forgot to introduce you. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Larry. I would say that our colleges are doing as well as can be expected. They, like everyone else, by about the middle of March, realized that they were going to have to transition to protect the health and safety of students and faculty and administrators. And I'm actually very proud of the job our colleges did in transitioning to essentially online within 2 to 3 weeks.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Well.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's interesting that you bring this up, and I'm glad we're covering this today. I've been reading a lot about, quote, universities. I'll say it that way, four-year universities and colleges. I've been reading a lot about K-12, and I'm just talking about in the general news. But that important, if I may, link between the two, I'll just call it that. I know it's more than that. Community colleges hasn't been mentioned much, okay, in the general news media. Are you finding that too, Noah?
Well, we are, and, you know, we're focusing on that, and we're trying to educate people about what our institutions are doing, and frankly, more than ever, they represent a tremendous opportunity for students who are displaced, who are now homebound, who are sheltering in place, who are reconsidering packing up their belongings and going to a four-year institution. And I'll also tell you, Larry, that we've seen an increase around the country in what we call dual enrollment. High school students.
I wrote that down. I wanted to talk to you about that. So go ahead, please. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes sense if you think about it. With the transition to a fully online learning environment, a lot of students, particularly in high school, they also went online. The opportunity to study concurrently in our institutions online was basically there to begin with, but there's a lot more interest in doing that. So we may actually see some very interesting enrollment patterns as we head into fall and beyond.
And will there be a difference? I'm going to tell you why I'm asking this in a minute, but will there be a difference in a tuition charge, okay, between online and in-person education? Let's suppose everybody goes online. Does tuition costs drop?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I hosted a webinar last week with several of my colleagues, and I asked that question. Now, for the most part, community colleges are already very affordable. So their tuition and fee levels, as you know, Larry, are far below that of your typical public college and university, although they are a little higher up in your neck of the woods up in New England. But generally speaking, they're much more affordable. They don't anticipate much change in tuition and fees because they are so low. And interestingly, one of the things we talked about was if we remain virtually online, how does that affect fees for things like health services,
right,
accounting,
you're reading
and all
my
of that.
Mind. You're reading my mind.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an interesting set of issues. I mean, as far as online counseling and support and mental health services and so forth, they are transitioning those to online. So, you know, the fees still need to cover those services. One of our presidents made an interesting point, which is if we didn't charge the fees and then students needed those services, we wouldn't be able to provide them. So, in other words,
right,
we can't anticipate right now how many students might need those services, and we want to make sure they're available when they do.
So, well, they have to be there. They have to be there. It's that simple. Because these are such changing times and they're stressful times, okay, and the counseling need, et cetera. There is one question, though. Community colleges do offer a lot of career and technical education. I'm going to use welding as an example, okay? In other
right.
words, all their courses are not academic per se, although you got to learn
right.
a lot to understand welding. I don't mean it that way, but they're more hands-on technical. Okay, and how will you guys be able to cope with that? Have you heard anything on that, Noah?
Well, Larry, that's a great question, and it is true that most of our institutions provide a wealth of programs in career and technical or applied fields, whether it's welding or allied health, nursing, for example.
Yeah.
A lot of discussion about this. So initially, a lot of the content for those types of programs could be translated to an online environment. The challenge will remain in getting the hands-on practical experience that you would need in a lot of those courses. Now, the good news is that a lot of colleges, if you look at their labs and their voc tech facilities, a lot of those students work in relative isolation. In other words, they're typically in booths or cubicles or cubbies where they're doing their practice work. So it actually lends itself reasonably well to social distancing. So our anticipation is that we can provide that hands-on learning experience in a relatively safe environment. Now, of course, colleges will do all they can to ensure the health and safety of our students whatever they need to do, but the practical experience can be done using social distancing far easier than in-classroom learning.
I hope that works. I really do. And, you know, I got to say something. We do a lot. I think you heard the introduction. We have our American Consortium for Equity in Education. By the way, please feel free to join Noah and anyone else. We'd love to have you representing the community colleges in there because that's key stuff. And I was going to say in regards to that, okay, that community colleges do a lot, a heck of a lot. They represent a lot of the equity opportunity that's available for lower-income students. You'd probably agree with me on that, correct?
Oh, without question, Larry.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to be brilliant to say that one, Noah. That's an easy one. My question is this, okay? A lot of these students, okay, be they adults, be they young people just graduating, et cetera, from high school, they're, as I mentioned, I'm talking about the lower-income, we sometimes say underrepresented groups, okay? And a lot of them do not have the accessibility tools like computers, et cetera, broadband width needed for remote education. It's been a horrifying challenge right now. How have the colleges who, and these kids are so dependent to me on what the good work at community colleges, how are the colleges looking at that equity and accessibility issue? And as I say, you folks stand for that. That's, I can say that without hesitation. You're one of the shining examples, okay? But how's it going to work with accessibility?
Well,
to
it's
the
a very important issue and a major concern in our institutions, and you're totally right that issues of diversity, equity, inclusion are fully embedded in our institutions.
Yeah,
it's
they
one
are.
Of the areas that we worried most about with the advent of the pandemic is that how would we serve the more fragile, disenfranchised, disadvantaged students, low-income students. What I've been learning, Larry, is our colleges, as they normally do, jumped into action. They used financial resources, including those we were able to leverage from the federal government through the CARES Act, to begin to give students laptops
Great.
And other kinds of equipment so they could access. We looked at how we would provide Wi-Fi hotspots
Yep.
For students so they could gain access to the Internet. A whole host of things our colleges started doing. And let me just say, Larry, a lot of that was made possible by the work of our organization and many others.
I'm sure.
To Congress to funnel money directly to institutions, 50% of which they could give directly to students in the form of cash, which they have done. The other 50% institutions could reserve to purchase equipment, increase their Wi-Fi hotspots if they needed to, or frankly, some institutions provided the lion's share of their 50% also directly to students to kind of cushion the economic hardships that they're experiencing. So I'm very proud and impressed by how quickly our institutions mobilized and focused on the whole issue of access so that students wouldn't skip a beat.
Right. It's just that is just a key thing and just so darn important right now. It's just unbelievable. I did a thing with some high schools and they were giving out Chromebooks and then realized the kids did not have broadband at home, didn't have any bandwidth at home. So the Chromebooks were basically large paperweights, okay, because they weren't working anyway. And it's so important to realize that. You mentioned they're going to try to build in some hotspots, et cetera, and they've just got to do it because, as I've always said, community colleges are at many times an end to themselves, but they are a magnificent bridge for everyone. Okay, and they play an important role that's sometimes too often overlooked. People think that they have to go to the big university, but they don't. But now I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a little personal story here, and I want to hear if you're hearing this from others. My young nephew, all right, is going to start a college, a big university, having just graduated high school this fall. All right. And the thought was, you know, because should he go there, should he take the online courses, et cetera? And the third option was to put off a year and take community college courses till the pandemic vaccine and everything else hopefully settles things down and comes out. And the big university said they would not accept any community college courses for credit. Are you hearing that elsewhere, which, by the way, made me sick? Okay.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, and that's very disheartening. That's been an issue for a long time, Larry, as you know, but I know that we've made significant progress in having articulation agreements between our two-year, four-year institutions on the transfer of credit. I know we've been very active at ACCT, working with our regional accreditors to both sensitize them to the issue and look at solutions. But I'm very upset to learn that one institution in particular has made that blanket statement.
They basically did.
And frankly, Larry, it's not in that institution's self-interest. Because the truth, if the enrollment patterns begin to shift and students are looking for more online, more local options to stay close to home, four-year institutions are going to need enrollment in 2 to 3 years. So it would be self-defeating to put barriers up around that credit transfer issue. You know the state of the economy, Larry, and basically when you deny the transfer of credit and you force students to take courses over again, that's a big financial expense for students and parents.
Is.
And I would venture to say, given our current economy and the projected economy in the next few years, students and parents are not going to have that money. So they're not likely to transfer in some cases to four-year institutions that don't accept credit. So they're shooting themselves in the foot.
I agree with you, and my advice to my nephew was to tell them to take their acceptance letter and place it where the sun don't shine, okay? Use community college for 6 months and go somewhere else, because there's plenty of universities out there. And if that's the way they're going to act, and this kid, by the way, was a straight-A student since first grade. So
well,
no problem.
Excellent advice,
I won't say
Larry.
I won't say the institution, but seriously. It struck me as unbelievable, okay, and just snobbish and stupid.
It still goes on, and ultimately, I think, frankly, Larry, with this pandemic, institutions are beginning to sort of rethink their enrollment models, business models, and you know what? I'll just say it. It's about time. We can't continue to do business as we've done in higher education. And if institutions return to the old normal once we get the pandemic under control, I would say that would be a big mistake for them.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly, and I can't say the name of the institution, but it's just unbelievable. I want to read something you sent me. Okay, it's a little long. All right, ACCT has issued several statements above your signature, Noah, dealing with civil rights and particularly racial discrimination against black Americans following the murders of George Floyd and others like Ms. Taylor, as well as supporting immigrants' rights to pursue higher education. I love that. And speaking out against hate crime against Asian Americans, i.e. the Chinese flu, okay, in the wake of COVID-19. Okay, so obviously this is something that's important to you, and I guess those are the things that motivated you. But what's happening? And the reason I'm asking, there's a sea change coming about in the curriculum of many, many K-12 districts, and that is to look very seriously and teach about it, social justice, okay? Not to be totally negative, but to teach that there is a history of racism in the country and put the country in context to that, okay? All those things. And how's that affecting, from what you're hearing, community college curriculum?
No, it's a key question. And, I mean, it's not just important to me, Larry, but it's important to the organization I represent. And that's why we issued those statements. We as an organization have long embraced issues of diversity, equity, inclusion. They're central to our mission, our programming, our research. Everything that we do centers around the proposition that everybody should have access to a learning experience and a good-paying job in the economy. It has affected lots of what goes on in our sector, everything from revisiting curriculum to our focus on making sure that as students of color and disadvantaged students don't lose their connectivity to our institutions, especially now. One area that we're talking about and looking at, Larry, is the whole issue of police academy and first responder training. Our institutions provide a significant amount of training of police officers and first responders. In fact, we're having a conversation within ACCT. We have a standing committee within our organization, the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Committee. We're having a meeting with them right now about the very issue of looking at how we might change the way that we train and produce police officers and first responders. You know, this has become a huge issue in the wake of the civil unrest and the murders of George Floyd and others. It's clear that while the majority of police are honorable professionals, we have bad apples.
Vast majority.
They're bad apples. And unfortunately, the bad apples are the ones that bring down police departments generally and create distrust, particularly around community policing. So we're very much focused on this. Those statements were nothing more than our restatement of our own purpose and mission and our own values and how we saw our connection to our institutions and the work they do on behalf of all people.
That's excellent. And do you expect more culturally relevant courses to be put across the board. I don't know how to say it. More Black or Latino history courses in there. Of course, the more relevant curriculum is to students. Okay, the more rigorous it is, I might add, the more they will shine with it. It engages them. Have you heard anything about that? Not just Police Academy course. By the way, that was interesting that you brought that up, and that's wonderful that you're going to make those changes, that the colleges are looking to make those changes. But what about, I'll say just the history classes, that sort of thing. Have you heard about any big changes coming up or additional courses or something
like
that?
I've heard from some presidents and others that, you know, the important issue, Larry, is we want to have a learning environment that is built around tolerance, acceptance, and understanding. So given the wake of the civil unrest and the things that we've been witnessing as of late, and not just the civil unrest, as you know, Larry, but the way that we have been treating immigrants, Asian descent, who are being discriminated against and threatened because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And our support for the so-called Dreamers, children that were brought to this country by their parents.
Big part of what you guys do, right?
Exactly. So our whole focus again is working hand in glove with our institutions to make sure that our communities are communities of tolerance, understanding, and progressivity. And anything that our institutions are doing or will do in the future, I think we'll have a lens focused on improving the climate, not only for our students, but our communities.
It's so important, and you're hitting people just as they're becoming adults, leaving the larval stage, so to speak. For a lot of people are older when they go to community college, but I'm talking about kids who are just graduating, okay, high school. And I think it's just wonderful that you guys are really making an effort, I knew you would be, to make this happen, because as I say, you represent a good part of the, quote, underrepresented groups or the ones that we weren't teaching culturally relevant information. Now, I'm going to ask you a positive here, okay? To my way of thinking, okay, and I know you guys, like everybody else, have had a financial hit, but you mentioned it a few minutes ago. It seems to me more and more people are going to take the community college initiative, the community college path, okay, over the next year or so because of the pandemic and they don't want to travel far. It seems to me it's important. Are the community colleges marketing hard to counselors in public education, to parents, to students, et cetera, because really you offer a lot for people right now. In a financial crunch time, your courses are less expensive. They're just as good, all right? You're local. You don't have to travel. You can do online, et cetera. What's the marketing standpoint? What are you seeing?
Well, it's an excellent question, and we have lots of conversations.
That's why they pay me the big bucks. That's why they pay me the big bucks, and I would ask these hard questions.
Yeah,
it's a joke.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd love to have your job someday, Larry. Many of us believe that this is a watershed moment for our institutions and 100-year-plus history. And, you know, we've been taking it on the chin off and on for years about being, you know, second tier, less than. We have an opportunity now, not just with the pandemic and people changing their views about where to attend college and how, but also with the economy. We have an opportunity as a sector, I think, to really increase our market share and really help this country understand how critically important our institutions are in a way that we've never had before. And so I'm actually very excited and optimistic about what we might see in the next several years. And I would say those changes will be for the long term. These are not going to be temporary solutions. Our place in the higher education fabric and our position between K-12 and four-year institutions, the fact that we're community-based and the students we serve, I think it's going to hold us in good stead for a very long time.
Well, I would agree. And are you? I know you just, and you just said it. You think, and so do I. Are you finding that amongst your community college members, the trustees, the presidents, etc.? Do they see this as an opportunity? That I actually believe it is.
Oh, I think so. In fact, we'll be having our own board of directors retreat the end of this week, and we're going to spend a good day with them talking strategy, not just about how ACCT needs to change to serve our members in the near term, but really how we can take advantage of the opportunities and really equip our trustees around the country and our CEOs to really be even more effective and even be more innovative and proactive about taking advantage of this opportunity that we have to really showcase how we can help this country get through the pandemic and back to a place of economic stability and growth.
You really can. As I say, you community colleges should be, they have to see this in the catbird seat right now of higher education. Okay, because I mentioned that one example. I don't know about the rest of them, but there's I'll call it an attitude in ultimate higher ed, the big colleges and universities. And this the virus doesn't care about your attitude. The virus humbles everyone. Okay, it doesn't care. And if we I hate to when you good Lord gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Okay, this pandemic, bad as it is, represents a wonderful higher ed opportunity for a lot of kids. Okay, not to miss a year to get good stuff. My favorite community college story, you want to hear it, Noah?
I always want to hear your favorite
Great.
community college stories,
This is
Larry.
great. This is great. My good friend is the guy named, never been a day in our lives we didn't know each other, Stuart Feierstein. Okay, he is former chair of the biology department at Columbia. He's a full professor at Columbia, and he's one of the world's leading neuroscientists and certainly the world's leading expert on the olfactory sense, the sense of smell. And he's also an incredibly funny guy and an author of books called Ignorance and Failure, which are these two courses that he teaches that are the most popular on the campus at Columbia. Ignorance, of course, on how ignorance, when you don't know something, it moves you forward, etc. His name is Stuart Feierstein. Okay, he was out of school for many years, but when he went back to community college in San Francisco many, many years ago. And it was a neuroscience professor that said, "You really have a knack for this. Let's work together more and more and more," said the community college professor. And sure enough, Stuart went on to finish that course, got accepted to Berkeley, and has his doctorate, etc., and is a full professor at Columbia. That started at a community college. Okay, that's how powerful community colleges can be.
Oh, yeah. And I can
Yeah.
tell you hundreds of those, but I'll tell you one quickly since you're mentioning
Go ahead.
biology and things like that. There's another gentleman by the name of Richard Vedder, who was the man that mapped the human genome. When he came back from service in Vietnam, he couldn't get into any four-year institution.
Wow.
So,
Wow.
like your friend, started taking courses at the community college where he excelled. He ultimately transferred, earned a PhD, and went on to map the human genome. I
Community
mean,
college.
there's so many stories
Yeah,
like that.
and they should really be
And
put into a book. Okay? Yeah,
well,
if nobody's done
I
that, you
agree with
should do it. Yeah, because
well.
those are great stories, and it's the kind of thing, okay? Because community colleges offer opportunity, not only to kids just getting out of school or even dual enrollment while in high school, but to adults who have been away for a while but want to go back to school. I think it's wonderful what you guys do. I really do. And I hope the
Oh,
high
yeah.
schools
Well,
high schools and parents need to understand this these days. Okay? Sounds to me like community colleges are in pretty good shape right now. How will you do your meeting? I assume it's a virtual meeting with your group this week, huh?
the board retreat, obviously beginning in March, we started canceling. We had to cancel two small institutes that we had planned to do, including one with our tribal college brothers and sisters,
Oh, wow.
which I
Yeah.
really regretted having to cancel, but it was the right thing to do. But we've gone virtual. We have a virtual institute that started yesterday that'll
Ah.
run through Thursday, our virtual board meeting and retreat this weekend, and then we just made the decision to transition our annual trustee leadership congress
Yeah.
that we would have held in early October in Chicago to a virtual meeting. So we are planning to have a week's worth of a virtual Congress with general sessions and concurrent sessions. And, you know, I'm optimistic that we'll get a good turnout. You know, trustees are craving connectivity. They're
sure.
craving opportunities to network and interact with their peers. And they're looking for solutions, Larry. If this pandemic has done anything in particular, it has really increased the desire on the part of our boards and presidents, faculty, administrators to find real solutions to address the challenges that we're currently seeing. So we'll see how it goes. But I think, Larry, for ACCT, I think we'll continue to do virtual programs as well as in person. But I think virtual is here to stay. And I think it's an opportunity for us to reach more of our members than we ever have.
Yeah, and reach more, and I'm going to say this, reach more kids than you ever have. All right? I agree with you. The virtual is here to stay. Just think of how clean the air is without everybody commuting and everybody flying.
Oh,
there
yeah.
Are,
yeah.
There is,
I mean,
a good side, as horrible as this
yeah,
thing is.
Yeah, I mean, even in where I live in the Washington, D.C. metro area, until recently, we've had the cleanest air that we've had in a generation.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so that's the good thing. So let's take advantage of the opportunity. Noah, thanks a million. Okay, this was wonderful as always. We'll do more. Let's get back in touch and do more of these, okay?
Well, I'd love to. And again, Larry, I love visiting with you. I love your enthusiasm. And as always, I appreciate your support for community colleges.
It's for real and it's there. And just keep up the good work. And tell David I said hi. And let's schedule more shows, okay?
You absolutely will. You be safe and you take care of yourself, Larry.
Thanks, buddy. You too, Noah. Have a good one. Stay safe. Wear that mask, okay? I know I'm preaching to the choir, but stay safe. Thanks a million. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the Association of Community Colleges Trustees, that's ACCT, ACCT.org. That was their president and CEO, basically, their executive director, J. Noah Brown. Noah Brown, all right. And As I said, I think the community colleges are going to do very, very well through this, providing support for all these kids that really need it right now. All right, it's just that important. All right, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, and please go over to our ACCE-ED.org website. That's home of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Join up. It's free. Let your voice be heard, and you'll see. You'll love our magazine. It all goes from there. You start it. Thanks.